Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome to the show. Always an honor to sit in for Jim. The program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Undeniably, this is the biggest and most important show in our industry. Great to have you with us on this Black Friday. And since Jim is not here, I know most of you are anticipating a bargain basement show because Jim's in the basement. I'll do my best to keep you entertained and a bit informed for the next 3 hours with wall-to-wall football, all the fallout from yesterday's games on Thanksgiving. The sky now officially falling in Dallas. We'll get you fully lined up for Sunday with the marquee matchup looming between the Niners and the Ravens, plus plenty of college football because we know it's officially, and let me say this slowly, rivalry weekend among the matchups. Iron Bowl tomorrow on CBS along with Ohio State taking on Michigan. Now, hopefully by now you know my approach when I'm lucky enough to sit in for Jim. We move quickly, but I don't bludgeon you with guests. In 40 minutes, we'll go around the NFL with Will Brinson from CBSSports.com. That's the only guest this hour, so plenty of time for you to be a part of the program. I've done this long enough and been lucky enough to sit in Jim's chair to know jungle legends typically don't lower themselves to interact with the substitute pimp in the box. So pick up the phone if normally you can't get into the rotation. 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. Emails, romeandhaveatake.com. Open for business on Twitter. It's BW Weber. Pause. Weber with two B's. And coming up in 20 minutes, we're going to shake it up a bit beyond the football conversation with all of the Hall of Fame analysis on this program, primarily because we're still celebrating Jim Rome being inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame. Hugely deserved, long overdue. College Football Hall of Fame has done something funky for its class that's going to be inducted next month. For some reason, the Goodyear blimp is heading into that hall. We'll spend some time on that durable decision. And it got me thinking, as we are now in a Hall of Fame mindset, who would we put into the Hall of Fame here in the jungle? Which clones deserve to be immortalized? Give me a call with your submissions, 1-800-636-8686, or tweet me. It's BW Weber. Coming up in 20 minutes, I'll give you my first nominee. Who belongs in the Jungle Hall of Fame? Since I mentioned blimp, let me say that word slowly, dirigible. Don't start tweeting at me about blimps and beaks in Studio City. We're in a good frame of mind. It's a holiday weekend. Plus, no TV simulcast today. So I'm going to go to page 19 of the broadcasting handbook here. And it says, as the fill-in guy with no television, there are no rules. It's pandemonium. Woo! Anything could happen at 1-800-636-8686. So, based on what happened yesterday, if I was methodical, we go game by game, but I'm not going to waste your time talking about what happened between the Lions and the Bears for two reasons. Even though that game did have a little bit more drama than anticipated, the majority of you watched it. The whole point of having that early game available on Thanksgiving Day is the opportunity to get away from your family. Secondly, there really were no grand takeaways other than Mitchell Trubisky finally woke up late in the game, the Bears salvaging a little bit of dignity as they've imploded this year after going from worst to first last year. But credit David Blau, no relation to Bilal Powell, and I didn't know who he was either prior to the game yesterday. The undrafted rookie, third-string quarterback for the Lions played decently, although that game really came down to the botched halftime show. Nothing says Lions football, a team that hasn't won a championship since 1957, then losing the power before some generic country band wants to entertain you at the half. But the whole nation was watching when the Bills and Cowboys got together, and you knew the primary storyline coming into the game, the notion that potentially it was must win for Jason Garrett if he lost to a quality Buffalo football team. And I know this show is hugely popular in Western New York. If you're a Bills fan and want to celebrate your biggest victory in years, 1-800-636-8686, because while I should be acknowledging all the positives for Buffalo and the development of Josh Allen, who in the same way that Lamar Jackson has taken a step forward, and Jackson obviously has been a comet this year on his way to winning the MVP award. Allen very quietly has cleaned up a lot of his issues. He's become far more accurate, but this game hinged primarily on the future of Jason Garrett and the notion if he lost at home on Thanksgiving Day, he might lose his job postgame. Well, it started well. Dak to Jason Witten, 7-0, and it felt like, especially when Garrett went for it on 4th-and-1 from his own 20 to kick off the second quarter, unless Jerry Jones is now just directly calling the plays himself from the owner's box, Garrett saying to everybody, hey, you think I'm conservative? Take that. I can make reckless decisions deep in my own end of the field, but then everything changed, and the Cowboys fell apart once more with the whole country watching, and they did it in hideous fashion, embracing the holiday spirit. They were in a giving mood, missing 2 field goals. Dak turned it over twice, and they gave Buffalo a huge donation by putting Ezekiel Elliott in that Salvation Army kettle and leaving him in there because for reasons that make absolutely no sense, and I know Buffalo has a decent run defense, Zeke was MIA. 8 carries, 56 yards in the first quarter when they were consistently giving the ball. Suddenly in the second quarter, it's down to 2 carries. After the midway mark of the third quarter, he did not get any more touches. That is just insane, and that is a reflection of a coach who was either out of touch or overmatched. How in the world do you pay Ezekiel Elliott all of that money and you don't use him? And don't tell me about game flow or scoreboard scenarios dictated that we had to use Dak to try to mount the comeback. You have Ezekiel Elliott for a reason, and you can blame Kellen Moore as the new offensive coordinator all you want to, but he reports to Jason Garrett, who has the final say and is responsible for everything that happens on the field. And apparently, only Michael Bennett was passionate enough postgame to express just how ridiculous this situation has gotten, because according to reports, he lost his mind screaming in the locker room so loudly reporters could hear it outside. Remember, Bennett just got there. He's been on the scene for about a month. Where's that passion from Jason Garrett? Where's that passion from Jerry Jones? Other than he got misty-eyed postgame saying how close he is to Jason Garrett and how if he made the coaching change now, the Cowboys would have a 0% chance of winning the Super Bowl. Super Bowl? Are you out of your mind? What's the probability that the Cowboys even win the division again? And I realize that they have the upper hand currently against Philadelphia, and that's their only quote-unquote quality win, because find me anything else on the Cowboys' resume that says to you, this team is for real. 0-5 against teams with winning records. Haven't beaten a single team that's among the current playoff field. The win over Philadelphia feels like ancient history, and I know the Eagles are dealing with a variety of issues, but when they play again in a few weeks, this time in Philly, at least that battered secondary for the Eagles should be healthier. But it is too simplistic and too repetitive just to call for a coach to be fired, especially as the fill-in guy on a holiday weekend. Easiest thing in the world to do is just crack open this mic, pound on the console, and say, Jason Garrett has to go. I'm trying to be better than that. But you're entitled to your own opinion. You're not entitled to your own facts. Jason Garrett is Marvin Lewis with a couple playoff wins. He's been on the job now for 10 years, and he's never even reached the NFC Championship game. How does that happen? Well, you have a megalomaniac for an owner who believes he actually knows what he's talking about in a football conversation, so he pretends to be the GM, and he wants a stooge, he wants a yes man to be his head coach, and Jerry Jones should look in the mirror. Now, that's got to be tough with all the work that's occurred in recent years. But Jerry Jones should hold himself accountable for letting this issue unravel the way it has, because he set Garrett up for failure this year, allowing him to go into the last year of the contract as the quintessential lame duck. And it's Brian Weber in for Jim Rome on this Black Friday here on CBS Sports Radio. If you want to be a part of the program, 1-800-636-8686. Emails rome@haveatake.com. Hit me up on Twitter. It's BW Weber. So Garrett is going to go. Apparently he's not going to go now. I can see it both ways, and I know you're never supposed to have a neutral opinion in the world of hot takes. If you believe that this team merely needs to shake things up, you say, thank you, Jason, pat him on the shoulder, and then you put him up in Jerry's box because apparently they're soulmates, and you go with an interim head coach, and maybe that's the catalyst for change. But you still have an overmatched coaching staff with a defensive coordinator, Rod Marinelli, who apparently makes no adjustments. Where was the Dallas defense yesterday? Look, Josh Allen has improved, but he looked like a future Hall of Famer. And that's not the first time this Dallas defense has had major issues with just about every quarterback they faced. See how Kirk Cousins did, finally winning a primetime game on the road? And yeah, Kirk has moderately improved this year, but that was really a reflection of another lousy defensive performance by the Cowboys. Heck, Jeff Driscoll of the Lions played better against the Cowboys than he did against any other opponent. So this is a team, despite the fact that they have solid players on both sides of the football, and when we get to the Pro Bowl balloting in an exhibition that nobody cares about, you're going to see Cowboys well represented going to Orlando. But it's not about what you do in All-Star games. This is not fantasy football. If the goal is to be impactful in the postseason, you need a coach who has a coherent game plan, who can make adjustments, and doesn't forget you have an all-pro running back that you wrote a massive check with a ton of guaranteed money for. You don't forget to use him. So we know how this plays out. Jason Garrett, at a minimum, has to make it to the NFC Championship game, conventional wisdom says, to keep his job. What's the likelihood of that happening? Well, I still think Dallas is going to win the division. I know the Eagles have the easiest remaining schedule in all of football moving forward. That starts with a potential gimme win on the road in South Florida against the Dolphins on Sunday, although do not sleep on the possibility of Fitzmagic. But even if Dallas wins the division again, and with that you get the right to host a playoff game, so what? Because who would you like their chances against in the rugged NFC come playoff time? And I'm not thinking about the quarterback comparison, because Dak, while yesterday was shaky, overall, especially with the burden of playing for a contract, has been largely very solid this year, leading the league in passing yards for the majority of the season. I'm not talking about Dak head-to-head against Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees, and coming up in less than 20 minutes, I'll tell you why the Saints are the most complete team in the NFC coming off their ability to clinch the division title last night in Atlanta. I'm talking about Jason Garrett trying to match wits with Sean Payton on his way to the Hall of Fame. Pete Carroll, who's won a Super Bowl. How about Matt LaFleur in Green Bay? First year on the sidelines, and I know Green Bay got pushed around by the 49ers. Take a look at how the Packers are playing. Compare that ingenuity and creativity on offense to what Dallas is failing to do. And that is a complete reflection and a referendum on a head coach who seems like a hell of a nice guy. I've had good conversations now as I name drop with Jason Garrett at the scouting combine in Indy. He seems like a decent man, but he does not know what he's doing, or he is failing to make the necessary adjustments. And you can't do that and hope to keep your job in the NFL.
Are you craving some protein after a good workout? Then don't make a shake. Don't eat a bar. Grab a bag of beef jerky from Old Trapper. That's right, Old Trapper. Old Trapper beef jerky is tasty and tender. It's made with real strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. And it goes wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach, anywhere at all. So look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. You can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. Clones, if you do not see it, be sure to ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper. What's your beef?
Brian Weber back with you in for Jim Rome on this Black Friday. Thanks for sharing part of a long and festive holiday weekend with us. Talking nothing but football, all the fallout from what happened yesterday, specifically in Dallas. Plus, we'll get you set for a huge weekend in college football. In less than 20 minutes, we'll keep the NFL conversation going when we bring in Will Brinson from CBSSports.com. Get the latest on Jason Garrett's cloudy future in Dallas, because even if he wins the division again, you really think this team is doing anything come playoff time? That is on the agenda. Hall of Fame talk, a big topic on this program. I'm not talking about if Derek Jeter should have been the only name selected on the ballot for the Baseball Hall of Fame this year, because we're not doing hot stove conversation in late November. I'm talking about the host of this program, the man with his name on the marquee, Jim Rome, taking his rightful place in the Radio Hall of Fame. How can you have a Radio Hall of Fame that does not include an individual who forever changed the medium and how sports talk works? But something else happened that got my attention, connected to a Hall of Fame. Quirky event coming up next month at the College Football Hall of Fame. The Goodyear Blimp, it's a dirigible, going to be inducted as an honorary member of that esteemed institution. That struck me as very odd. Now, look, I have nothing against blimps in general. If a local blimpies called me and said, do a podcast for people waiting online to get a sandwich and hand me a check, I would be there. I might head there after this program. Hit me up on Twitter, BW Weber. I'm a broadcast courtesan. What else comes to mind when we think about blimps? Things didn't go so well for the Hindenburg, but that was a long time ago. But what struck me as really odd about the Goodyear blimp being honored is why this object, this non-person, was being selected ahead of all the other options. I mean, how pissed is the Gatorade cooler right now? There's been a lot of celebrations in college football where the Gatorade jug was center stage and that lazy blimp was just hovering above. How about the first down marker? Has to be totally livid. Or what about the fifth down that popped up in that game between Colorado and Missouri back in the day? How can we live in a world in which the blimp gets into the Hall of Fame ahead of the goalpost? What does all of this mean? I don't understand the motivation at all, but part of me has a strange, morbid curiosity as to what's going to happen when the blimp officially gets inducted. For example, I can't wait for the blimp speech. I think it's going to sound something like this. Now, trust me, have I mentioned I went to Stanford? Well, we're only halfway through the first hour. I took a couple languages there, and I can speak blimp. And the blimp just thanked the pilot and all the stadiums it's had the distinct pleasure of flying over on game days, except for the L.A. Memorial Coliseum. You had to listen closely at the end there. Even with the renovations, the blimp just said that place is still a dump, even when you're looking down on it from 10,000 feet above. So, speaking of the Hall of Fame, I went a long way for this one. Speaking of the Hall of Fame, how fat was he? Who would you put in the Jungle Hall of Fame? I know it's a tough call, given all the icons who are part of this show. Probably I should just go down the road. Who would be in the Jungle Hall of Fame as fill-in hosts? And a la Derek Jeter being the only name that comes to mind for this year's Hall of Fame baseball ballot, I got one name and one name only, Joey Vendetta. If for no other reason, his name is Joey Vendetta beyond his remarkable skill set. But if I'm going to broaden the focus and come up with nominees for the Jungle Hall of Fame, and I gave this a lot of thought last night, it's got to be Toby in Houston, right? It's the holy grail of calls. We've only heard it on a few occasions. Most recently in the wake of Romageddon. And what a glorious day that was here in the jungle. But I had a boss once tell me to stay in my lane and keep the needles moving on the day after a holiday as a radio fill-in guy. So I realize my limited role here. Only the boss, only Jim has the authority to play the vaunted Toby in Houston call. So I gave it more thoughts. What call would be in the same genre, same milieu on a Big Word Friday? And by that I mean the focus of the call being the man zone. So because I've been a clone for the better part of 25 years, all my references are circa mid-90s, early 2000. I'm going old school with Tom Tolbert, who is killing it on the radio now in San Francisco, former broadcast partner of mine. If you work for 30 years, you meet a lot of people. Tom, at the time, was still playing in the NBA when he lobbed this call to Romy years ago, introducing us to the infamous Dr. Boudreaux.
Blah, blah, blah. But this one story, this was mortifying. I mean, you're sitting there, right? I was like, how old was I? Like 19, 20 years old. first big university I'm playing in. So I'm kind of taking this stuff seriously, like for about 5 minutes, and I dismiss it and go make my bets. I was telling the FBI guy, can you hurry up? The game's starting at 3 o'clock, okay? I need to get out of here. I need to get down. So anyways, awesome. He's telling me a story of this guy named Dr. Boudreaux. Dr. Boudreaux, right? I don't know where the guy comes from. It sounded like an urban myth to me, but this guy gives me this story. They showed us pictures of him. Like, stay away from this dude, like, at all costs. This guy's dangerous. So we're, like, sitting there listening to stories.
Dr. Boudreaux's
exploits. And what this guy would do is he would hang out with basketball players or football players, like college players, get to know him a little bit, take him out for a couple beers. He'd, like, slip him a Mickey. Then he would bring them back to their hotel room, right? Back to their hotel room. They'd be passed out. They would wake up in the morning with, like, Polaroids of him standing over him with, like, his crank in their face and blackmail him. Absolutely incredible. I mean, this guy would just – and then he'd basically just say, listen, Buck, I want money. I want this. I'll be your agent. Buck, I'll be whatever you want. And the guys were just like, all right.
But with all due respect – to the family-oriented listeners up and down the West Coast and across America, tell me you did not just say he would stand over with a Polaroid with crank in their face. Great, I just lost three more affiliates. Attaboy, Tolbert. So Boudreaux's got the pictures.
Now,
you never hung with Boudreaux. He didn't drop any Mickeys in your drinks.
Never saw Boudreaux, thank goodness.
Is the guy real?
I guess.
Or they just make this guy up for people like you?
I have no idea. Whatever, it's a great story. And I believe it at the time.
Yeah.
At this point, it's kind of a moot point, isn't it, whether it's real or not?
Radio Gold. And before you call me boomer, and I'm only a millennial, but I know I act much older on the radio, that is the value of history, knowing something that happened before last week. And look, I am not taking anything away from the Toby and Houston call. It'll live forever because of scarcity. Because part of you doesn't believe it happened. Like, a million years ago, this is true, a man passed away on the Dick Cavett Show, another contemporary reference. Alvin and Adam are looking at me saying, are you 95 years old? A man died on network television. Now, they did not air the tape back in the day, the film, but it happened. And only a select few have actually seen that. And only a handful of us have heard the Toby and Houston call because we were lucky to be listening in real time and then in Rome again. But if I'm going to rank them, and obviously I could not bring you Toby and Houston, although I got the same power of the crank reference in there for getting all the particulars of that call. I think Dr. Boudreaux is right there with the Toby and Houston call. Plus, we have an NBA player sharing that story, and Jim's reaction is as good as the content there. So I will follow the boss and apologize, knowing this is safe harbor on the day after a Thanksgiving. If you have kids in the car, maybe it's time for a nice conversation. Hey, Dad, what was Tom Tolbert talking about there? And remember, the crank reference involves anything that would come under the umbrella of auto parts. It's raining and snowing across the country. Today would be a good day to check out the tires, and then you can take your child in there and talk about cranks as well. 1-800-636-8686. I know how it works when I'm here. Half of you are sending venom my way on Twitter. That's cool. I love the show and want to be your pinata. That's BW Weber, Weber with two B's on the old tweet deck. Emails RomanHaveATake.com. I'll sell the phone number, but have an idea that I'm going to be doing a lot of talking moving forward at 1-800-636-8686, in addition to what I've already been spewing to start the program. Coming up, back to the NFL. Are the Saints undeniably the most complete team in the NFC? Plus, is it Super Bowl or bust for Jason Garrett? We'll take you across the league with a good friend of the program, Will Brinson, senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com, host of the Pick 6 podcast. But first, it's time for a sports update. Darwin Zook has all the details.
Right in my face.
Will, we appreciate you taking the time. Got to start in Dallas. What is your biggest criticism of Jason Garrett and his coaching staff? How much do you think they're holding this team back?
I think it's holding back in a big way, Brian. By the way, happy Thanksgiving. I think you look at this team, and our colleague at CBS Sports, Jared Dubin, pointed out, and I think this is the best description I've heard of it. This is a 9-2 team, or I guess 10-2 now. With 9-2 team with 2-9 coaching, and that's how you end up at 6-5. And it really does seem like repeatedly Jason Garrett puts his team behind the eight ball. You know, you could see it in multiple instances. One, they went for it on fourth and six near the goal line late in that game. And I understand, look, that's good. You should go for it on fourth down there. But on third down, they took a shot into the end zone, a fade to Michael Gallup. Instead, they should have done what we saw Dan Quinn and the Falcons do later that evening, which is set up a fourth and two. Now, the Falcons didn't get it, but the process is important, not the results. And so that sort of stuff bothers me. We saw Jason Garrett not use his timeouts at the end of the first half. He was willing to let the clock run. It cost them an opportunity to take shots at the end zone. It forced them into a position where they had to take a short Britt Mayer field goal that he pushed dead left. And, you add up all those things, and it just repeatedly seems like the Cowboys make coaching mistakes or lack aggression that we see from, modern intelligent coaches like, John Harbaugh, who was actually hired around the same time within 2 years. You look at the five longest tenured head coaches, right? Bill Belichick, Mike Tomlin, Sean Payton, John Harbaugh, Jason Garrett. One of these things does not belong.
Yeah, it's called the Vince Lombardi Trophy, taking you across the NFL with our pal Will Brinson from CBSSports.com. Well, we know that Jerry Jones works in mysterious and emotional ways, firing Jimmy Johnson back in the day because of something that happened at a bar late night. At a minimum, does Jason Garrett have to make it to at least the NFC Championship game to keep his job?
Yeah, that's the scuttlebutt, is that he needs to be in the NFC title game in order to not get fired. And I really do think that this is a little bit of wish casting by Jerry Jones in this instance. Now, look, I understand the logic why you wouldn't just fire Jason Garrett the day after losing to the Bills at home, with 4 weeks left in the season, because you do have a game in 7 days. You don't have that mini bye. You play the Bears on Thursday night. It's not quite a must win, but it's approaching that territory, especially with the Eagles getting the Dolphins this weekend. And then in week 16, you're going to have to play the Eagles in Philadelphia with the division on the line. And I also think Jerry Jones, I don't know why I'm getting their names mixed up like crazy.
Well, because they're so tight. You saw post-game Jerry Jones getting emotional.
I know. He wants, Brian, more than anything in the world to eradicate the narrative that the Cowboys won their three titles in the 90s and built that dynasty courtesy of Jimmy Johnson and then Barry Switzer coming in later in 96. And he believes the only way to do that is to win a Super Bowl with a coach he handpicked and a quarterback that he handpicked too. And it was Tony Romo, then it moves on to Dak Prescott. And Jason Garrett, the former Cowboys backup, is his guy. And I think he just wants and believes that he can win a Super Bowl with Jason Garrett, even though to me, there's a 0% chance that will ever happen, because the way that Jason Garrett coaches is not conducive to winning multiple playoff games in a row. You need somebody just to get unholy hot, and a quarterback and to get unholy hot, or a defense to get unholy hot to win a Super Bowl like that. And then you need the coaching to help sort of build towards an aggressive standpoint in the playoffs that can allow you to win those games. And I just don't think they have it with Jason Garrett. And unfortunately for Jerry Jones, he's probably going to have a decision to make this offseason once the Cowboys wrap up their inevitable painful playoff loss.
Yeah, even though I think they will win the division, because everyone's pointing out that Philadelphia has the easiest schedule in all of football down the stretch. We've been paying attention to where the Eagles are in disarray, banged up, and Carson Wentz has taken a major step back. We're taking you around the NFL with Will Brinson. Check out his great work. CBSSports.com, host of the Pick Six podcast. Will, oh, by the way, Buffalo posted a quality win on the road with the whole country watching. Bills in great shape to be a wild card. Go back to their game against the Patriots, only lost by 6, and Josh Allen had 3 interceptions in that one. If you put together the coaching acumen of Sean McDermott and everyone on his staff, including defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier, do you think this could be one of the best staffs in all of football?
Yeah, it's a really good staff. That's a great point. And you know what? We did the same thing on our podcast recap on Thursday night. Like, we led with the Cowboys, and they're like, and by the way, the Bills are 9-3 and pretty good too. And I feel bad about it. It is just the reality. I was shocked, Brian, to find out going into that game that was Josh Allen's first primetime game. I know he hadn't been in the league that long, but that should tell you everything you need to know about the Bills, that Josh Allen has never played on primetime before going to Dallas on Thanksgiving. And I would anticipate that this Bills team ends up with a few more primetime games next year, because they look like they're building something pretty good here. You talk about the coaching staff. Let's give credit to the GM and the front office too. Brandon Bean, working with Sean McDermott, they both came from Carolina. Brandon Bean was the right-hand man for Dave Gettleman. Sean McDermott, the defensive coordinator under Ron Rivera, who had great success. They've done an incredible job of approaching this roster not in like the opposite way of a Cowboys build, right? They don't want stars and scrubs. They went out and, you know, they draft Devin Singletary. They signed Frank Gore, you know, a cheap free agent. They signed Cole Beasley from Dallas. You know, this is a slot guy who, you know, a short white slot guy that you'd think the Patriots would want. But the Bills decided he would be a great fit for Josh Allen in that he would increase his accuracy by giving him a short yardage target. You know, they signed John Brown, who's developing into one of the elite wide receivers that no one's talking about. He's not just a speed threat anymore, but he can take it over the top for Allen. You know, they build the offensive line, and they've got a great defense there. Leslie Frazier, who one of the, you know, most humble, quiet coaches you'll ever see, has done an incredible job there. Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator, doing an excellent job. He's got a great pedigree, but it may be his best work here in Buffalo. And I think you're right. This coaching staff does an incredible job of finding ways to win games when they're not supposed to or people don't believe they're going to. And the Buffalo Bills have, for the last, under Sean McDermott, every year, have squeezed out multiple wins in spots where people didn't think they would. And as a result, you know, I don't know if they're going to go win the Super Bowl or anything, but I wouldn't want to go against them on a short week with the playoff implications on the line.
Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, is our guest. Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. Well, let's move to the Saints. They wrapped up the division title last night. A year ago at this time, heading into December, we were talking about Drew Brees fading down the stretch. The numbers back it up. Do you think it's a different outlook this year because he's played fewer games with a thumb injury, got more rest? I think they're the most complete team in the NFC.
They're really good. You know, and I think one of the things that's flown under the radar, and he's flown under the radar for a long time too, is Cameron Jordan. Mm-hmm. You talk about a great defensive player. He had an outstanding game against the Falcons, all over Matt Ryan all day. The one thing that does worry me a little bit with Drew Brees, and I think you're right, the fact that they haven't played, he hadn't had to throw as much. You know, they're leaning on the run game. Teddy Bridgewater filled in admirably. You know, it saved himself a little wear and tear on the shoulder. You know, the thumb is still an issue. They're not stretching the field. You know, he attempted two ball, and that's okay. I mean, he attempted two passes over 20 yards against the Falcons, I believe. And, you know, that's not exactly a monster number that we're talking about there. And he was 0-for-2 in those throws. They're content moving the chains in a short fashion and being, they're not the explosive Saints of 2009 to 2013. I don't think that's a problem. I mean, they have a very good defense, a very good running game, an offensive line that is banged up right now, but is one of the best in the league. And you're right. They have players in the secondary, Marshawn Lattimore. This is a complete team. And they have an opportunity in front of them, having won on Thanksgiving, to now play the 49ers, who will be coming off a really tough game against Baltimore, and maybe flip the entire NFC. Because if there's one thing we know about Drew Brees and Sean Payton, it's that they are excellent in terms of playing games in New Orleans, especially playoff games. They typically dominate teams. They win those games. And you saw their, you know, 2009 when they won the Super Bowl, they had home field advantage. So that is a massive game in front of them. And I think if they can get home field advantage, they should be considered absolutely the favorites to go through the NFC and to face whoever comes out of the AFC in the Super Bowl.
And we all know they should have won the NFC title game a year ago, but for that officiating debacle. But we'll save that for another day. Will, we appreciate you taking the time. Happy holidays. As we say goodbye, does anybody in your life love you as much as Jerry Jones loves Jason Garrett?
Well, my son has had an ear infection and some sort of virus. And so my wife and I have been cooped up over Thanksgiving by ourselves in the house. So I'm guessing right now, no, there is no one in my life who loves me the way that Jerry Jones loves Jason Garrett. But I love Thanksgiving leftovers as much as Jerry Jones loves Jason Garrett.
Uh-oh. So I might enjoy it. In 10 seconds, give me your Mount Rushmore of leftovers from yesterday. Go.
Oh, the move is you go turkey, stuffing, cranberry sauce on a Hawaiian roll, and go with a gobbler slider.
Aloha means goodbye. Thank you, Will.
See you, Brian. Have a great day.
Aloha also means hello. Getting deep as hour number one of the program is winding down. Will's outstanding. And as you can tell, he's got a great delivery as well. So be sure to check out the Pick Six podcast. As he mentioned, he laid one down last night, recapping all the action across the NFL. I'm sure devoting a lot of time to the legend of David Blau. Say that one slowly. Blau. All right, now we're getting the tweets and emails I'm looking for, and we'll get to them in depth coming up because this hour is almost done. Want to make sure that you have the ability to chime in on one of the topics we've been kicking around with the Goodyear blimp on its way into the College Football Hall of Fame. Who should be inducted, or at a minimum, be a nominee to get into the Jungle Hall of Fame? I've already put the infamous Dr. Boudreaux call from the great Tom Tolbert as a nominee. What do you think? 1-800-636-8686. Emails, RomanAvatic.com. Hit me up on Twitter, BW Weber, Weber with 2 B's straight ahead. We will get to your tweets and a couple phone calls. Plus, we'll dig deeper into Sunday's marquee matchup. How can the Niners slow down Lamar Jackson and the Ravens? That's on the way. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome. Thanks for sharing part of the holiday weekend with us here on CBS Sports Radio.
Do you need a last-minute gift? Then give O'Reilly Auto Parts a call. They've got several options for gifts under $20, including a digital tire gauge, a 20-in-1 multi-tool, storage containers, or even a universal backup camera. Or you can get professional quality power torque tool sets starting at only $19.99. Plus, who doesn't love gift cards? You can even buy gifts online and then pick them up in the store. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Kicking off another hour of the program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way, providing a seamless mortgage experience. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Enjoyed some interesting matchups. Somehow, some way, even though a new hero in Detroit, and it came in a loss because we're talking Lions football, David Blau, played well, the undrafted rookie from Purdue. Kept that game intriguing into the final quarter. Mitchell Trubisky came up with the late drive Chicago needed. But that's not what's dominating the conversation, nor are we focusing on what the Saints did in primetime, in large measure because Atlanta is in disarray. Although the Falcons went to New Orleans, won a couple weeks ago. We know that Dan Quinn is dead man walking professionally, going to lose the job at the end of the year. Saints won the division title again. No, it's Jason Garrett conversation dominating the program. If you want to be a part of the show, we take phone calls selectively at 1-800-636-8686. Your best bet, emails, RomanHaveATake.com. Always available to interact with you on Twitter. That is BW Weber, Weber with 2 B's. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll transition to college football with games being played today and big games coming up tomorrow, among them the Iron Bowl on CBS. Auburn, Alabama renewing the rivalry, plus Ohio State and Michigan. Does Jim Harbaugh finally have what it takes to knock off mighty Ohio State tomorrow? We'll get a preview when we're joined by Pete Futak from collegefootballnews.com. In addition to following the major themes across the NFL, I don't try to get cute when I'm lucky enough to fill in for the best in the business, Jim Rome. We focus primarily on football when I'm here, but it was hard to miss, as I got ready for the college football conversation, this strange development connected to the College Football Hall of Fame. Goodyear blimp being inducted as an honorary member. So since we've been celebrating Jim Rome's unbelievably worthy induction into the Radio Hall of Fame, we have been throwing around the concept, who belongs in the Jungle Hall of Fame, knowing I am merely the fill-in host. So when I propose in hour number one, we go with a call from back in the day, Tom Tolbert, former NBA journeyman by his own admission, now the leading radio host in the San Francisco Bay Area, had a moment that will live forever in the jungle when he revealed the anecdote of Dr. Boudreaux to Jim. That was my nominee in the first hour because I did not feel comfortable playing the Toby from Houston call because I'm just a fill-in guy, although we had the same general content achieved with that phone call when we dusted off the archives and went back in time to bring you Tom Tolbert's story. So coming up as we continue in this hour, about 30 minutes from now. We'll get to the second nominee. And because half the job as the fill-in host is to not burn the building down, I feel a little badly about making that executive decision to play Dr. Boudreaux. So I'm going to defer, so I can't get blamed in this hour, to the executive producer of this program, one Adam Hawk, who actually decided to show up for work today. Let's say hello to Adam as he plugs in the cans. Too bad we're not on television, because once more he is decked out in the fine regalia. Happy holidays, my friend. Did you misread the schedule? You and I never worked together, even though you're the primary reason I got a fill-in shot 3 years ago.
I read it just fine, and once I saw that you were on the schedule, Brian, I said I have to be there, and Alvin, why don't you delay your plans as well, and let's make sure we're there on Black Friday for Brian Weber.
And you're saying it with conviction. Do you remember years ago when I slammed that door in your face at another radio network? I told you, kid, if I can give you one lesson and one lesson only, if you want to make it in this business, learn how to fake sincerity. You got to give me a little bit more passion and energy.
I live by the motto, passion and energy, Brian. I'm very excited to see you today.
I'm a little bit concerned I crossed the line with the Dr. Boudreaux call. So I'm going to make
Dr.
you take
Boudreaux.
The ball. I'm going to make you be held accountable coming up when we get to the second nominee. I asked you 30 minutes ago to crowdsource this. Reach out to Jungle Legends, a blue ribbon panel of experts. Can you come up with a second nominee as to who should be inducted into the Jungle Hall of Fame before this hour is done?
I can, and I don't need to crowdsource, because I did not crowdsource. I did not go out and do what you asked me to do. Instead, I just came up with the nominee myself.
Alvin, do we have the breaking news sounder? What a shock. I asked you to do one thing today. One thing, Adam. I said, please reach out to brighter minds than you and I. And you said, yeah. Was that not an affirmation, or you were just on your phone? I wasn't paying attention.
It was more like, yeah, I heard you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I just need to be heard.
That's it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll have you taken care of. I got your second nominee coming up in the final segment of this hour.
Okay. Well,
I thought your first nominee was great.
Thank you very much. Although I saw you get on the phone before I wrapped up that segment. Thank you, Adam. You can turn off your mic now. Brian will take it the rest of the way. So, I did throw it out there on social media. I want your potential inductees into the Jungle Hall of Fame. Hemsky in Tucson, Oilers fan, 83, gives me his list of the best Jungle callers. We'll count them down, Casey Kasem style. This is ponderous, man. Get Don on the phone. Number 5, Tyler in Edmonton. Number 4, Matt in L.A., who normally calls when I'm here. Number 3, going old school, Terrence in Sierra Madre. Number 2, Lef in Laguna. Number 1, the notorious B.I.C., Brad in Corona. Can't go wrong with that, although I think you have some current recency bias there. I need some older names because I'm so damn old. Emailers, number 5, John in Huntington Beach, number 4. Jeff in Lincoln, number 3. Steve in Phoenix, number 2. Drew in Westlake, West LA, that is. And number 1, Den Lesks. If you have some Hall of Fame input, 1-800-636-8686. Emails, RomanAvatake.com. Hit me up on Twitter. It's BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. I'm not doing 3 hours of why Jason Garrett should be fired radio, because it's self-evident. It's just a matter of time. Even if the Cowboys hang on to win the division after the debacle yesterday at home against Buffalo, and when you win the division, you host a playoff game, what's it going to matter, even if they win a playoff game again like they did last year? As we discussed with Will Brinson from CBSSports.com, wrapping up the first hour, Garrett has to make it, conventional wisdom says, at least to the NFC title game. That's not happening. How about two teams that have real Super Bowl ambitions meeting up Sunday in Baltimore, the game of the day? Niners taking on the Ravens. And isn't it intriguing now? All the folks going back to scrub their social media accounts to remove anything that was negative about Lamar Jackson, because we all knew this was going to happen, right? We all saw that the quarterback who was the last one taken in the first round of the draft a couple years ago would be remarkable in his transformation, especially coming off what he failed to do in the playoffs last year against San Diego. Remember, they went through a stretch of nearly 2 hours of real time, not game time, watching the game. Felt like 2 hours in which Jackson did virtually nothing. And maybe some of that was a byproduct that he had a matchup with the Chargers again. So they played twice in a small window. And we know how good defensive coaches are in the NFL, scheming against a rookie quarterback. That could have been part of the explanation. Also, he was a true freshman, quote unquote, to use the college vernacular, and maybe felt a little bit overwhelmed by the magnitude of the moment. But everything changed post-game and moving forward for both Jackson and the Ravens because of what John Harbaugh decided to do after the game, when he could have easily been noncommittal, especially based on how wobbly Jackson was in that game about the future of the quarterback position. He didn't moonwalk at all. He said clearly he was sticking with Jackson moving forward, and they tried to make sure that Joe Flacco landed the spot, would have a chance to close out his career gracefully. He went to Denver. You know the rest of the story. So there was an organizational commitment. And just think about your own life. And I don't like to go through the tortured analogies, but we are dealing with people here who have emotions beyond remarkable skills. Anytime you get backing, when you're going through a challenging situation, that's got to be validation. But it was more than just coach speak. The Ravens backed it up with changes on the coaching staff. And they went to Greg Roman, who was already working there, made him the offensive coordinator. And if you think about his body of work, what was clicking for the Niners on their way to the Super Bowl back in the 2012 season when the lights went out in 2013 in New Orleans? How do I know? I was there. What happened to that team? The defense was very solid, just like Baltimore this year, and that's why I think it's going to be a challenging game for Jimmy Garoppolo on the road because, yes, Garoppolo has the gaudy one-loss record as a starter. That's a meaningless stat for quarterbacks in the NFL because you can't quantify individually what the quarterback is doing when he's getting that much support from a transcendent defense the Niners have built, devoting all those first-round picks to fortifying the front seven, plus a solid running game, although Matt Breida has been banged up, and we'll find out if he's available on Sunday alongside Tevin Coleman. Plus, you have a creative mind in Kyle Shanahan. Yes, I know he forgot to run the football third quarter of the Super Bowl when the Falcons gagged away the 28-3 lead. That's a long time ago. Now that he's the head coach, he's proving that all of the buzz around the NFL that this guy was really a quote-unquote offensive genius is true. Watch the Niners and what they do, and I'm not going to be Frank Caliendo doing an impersonation of Ron Jaworski. I watch 75 hours of the All-22. I don't break down tape, but I do watch games. I know it's a novel concept in this business when all it takes is to be a carnival barker to get ahead, but theoretically, if we're talking about games and it's your job, watch the games. I also get paid to do a 7-hour Sunday show. And for that information, check me out on Twitter. BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. Watch the Niners. See what they do with formation and personnel grouping. And compare it to what you saw from Dallas last night. It's totally different because Shanahan has ingenuity. And he's taking the time to come up with schematic advantages. Now, Dallas is stuck in 1998 thinking that Troy Aikman's going to walk through that door. So as much as the Niners have all the components you're looking for to make a run to the Super Bowl, I think Jimmy Garoppolo has to show all of us more in a high-leverage situation because he has thrown interceptions at the wrong time, especially in the red zone a couple weeks ago against Arizona. Couple awful picks inside the 20. And then the Niners, if you're thinking about what their flaw defensively could be, well, consider how they matched up against Kyler Murray twice, Russell Wilson once, and Wilson's going to be the runner-up to Lamar Jackson for the MVP. And think about how Wilson has been doing more with less with a defense that's a shadow of the Legion of Boom in Seattle. But Wilson put up big numbers against the Niners, Steely D. What's Jackson going to do coming off that game for the ages on Monday night against the battered Rams, who are not going anywhere and they've mortgaged their future? I think Jackson has proven this is not an aberration. And it's not just his unique ability to be disruptive and to get to the second level with that extraordinary speed. It's what they're doing with the play calling. It's an entire throwback offense. Feels like they're running a wishbone from Oklahoma in 1975. Not Johnny Wishbone from the island of St. Croix. So this is a complete advantage for Baltimore, starting with the head coach and the belief of the offensive coordinator. And oh, by the way, how about Jackson putting the time in? Because we knew he had a remarkable range of skills. But he says it repeatedly. He'd rather throw a touchdown pass than run for one because he's a quarterback. And we knew that from day one at Louisville. Yes, he needed to work on his accuracy, but so did Josh Allen. But we looked at Josh Allen and said he's 6'5". He could throw it over a mountain like Uncle Rico. That's got to be my quarterback. We looked at Jackson and said, well, let's see. Maybe a little sleight of frame. Not as precise as he needs to be. Let's make him a wide receiver. And of course, that was lunacy and racially tinged. But it's all worked out perfectly for Jackson because he's put the time in. He has logged the hours in the tape room and countless practice sessions trying to become more accurate, put it all together. I don't know how you slow the Ravens down. We'll find out on Sunday if San Francisco can deliver in the game of the day. 10-1 Niners, 9-2 Ravens.
Good night.